The following is a duplicate of an interview with Dr. David Y. Lee, conducted for the Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project.
This is the Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. My name is Bernice Sam, and this is September 29, 1980. This is being taped at the office. May I have your name, sir?
David Lee.
Dr. David
Lee.
Y. Lee?
Yes.
What is your address?
I live at 1223B South Almansa, Alhambra.
How do you spell Almansa?
A-L-M-A-N-S-O-R.
Dr. Lee, where were you born and when?
I was born in San Francisco, August 30th, 1914.
That makes you...
67.
Uh-huh. And are you Chinese parents, born of Chinese parents?
Yes.
Do you remember their names?
My father's S.P. Lee in English, and he Lei Xiao Pang in Chinese. And my mother, well, she doesn't use a Chinese name, like she just calls herself Lei Wong Si. Mrs. Lee Wong.
Did your father come from China too?
Yes, they both came from province Guangdong in South China.
About approximately what year did they come?
Hmm.
Approximately. How old were they when he came?
I think my father was about 21 when he came, then he didn't get married until about 5-6 years later, and then my mother came over.
Now, you mentioned about Guangdong, but what is your native village?
My native village is...
Is it Samyap or Seyap?
Seyap. Called Toi San. The name of the county is Toi San, and the village itself is... Chaksuihang. In Chinese means...
Chaksuihang.
Red River stream.
Uh-huh. Chaksuihang. Have you ever been back to the village?
Yes, I've been back one summer when I was in China, studying in China. I went back there one summer.
All right, then let me finish with your parents first. Why did your father come to America, did he say?
All Chinese in that time came to the United States because that part of Canton, Guangdong province, fell upon hard times. It's a mountainous country, and there's a lot of famine and a lot of floods. When it rains, there's floods, and when it doesn't rain, there's drought. And then there's also fighting between the different groups of people in South China.
So, do you remember what your father was doing before he came to America?
He just lived in the village, and he was engaged in farming.
So, in other words, was he a very rich man?
No. He had about 4th or 5th grade education in the village. He grew up on a farm. When he grew up, about 18, 19, he went to Hong Kong and worked as a carpenter's apprentice.
So would you say that when he was in the village, he wasn't a very well-off man then?
No, he was very poor.
Very poor.
And when he came to the United States, his bomb. Well, there was an uncle that already came to the United States. He loaned my father some money when he came to the United States. And when he came to the United States, he only had a few dollars in his pockets when he landed in San Francisco. Mm-hmm.
About what year was that when he first landed in San Francisco?
Mm-hmm.
Approximately.
About 1900, I should say.
1900, okay. Then when he first came to America, what kind of work was he engaged in?
When he first came, he worked in a laundry, helping out in a laundry for a while, and he washed dishes for a while. He did waiting for a while. He was a houseboy for a while.
Then, how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I'm one of 10 10. My father had 6 boys and 4 girls.
6 boys and 4 girls, okay. Now then, then most of the time in San Francisco, what did your father do? Just odds and ends of jobs?
No, after he'd been there about 3 or 4 years, she heard about an English class conducted by missionaries in San Francisco. And he joined it, and he learned English. After he learned English, he found out that there were lots of Chinese herb doctors who did not speak English, they had to use interpreters. So he became an interpreter for Chinese herbalists. In time, he learned how to use prescribed Chinese herb, then he opened up his own office to treat American patients.
So when he first opened up his herb business, approximately what year was that?
Probably about 1910.
Were you, you were, let's see, are you the oldest or the youngest?
I'm somewhere in the middle.
I see. Now then when you, then what time did your father come to Los Angeles?
I think he came in 1927 or something like that.
Then when you were at home with the brothers and sisters, what language or languages were spoken?
We generally spoke the Tsay-Yup dialect of Cantonese.
Was it because your mother did not know English?
Yes, my mother decided she didn't want to learn English, so we'd be forced to speak the native tongue and wouldn't forget it. But my father had to learn English, and he spoke to us mostly in English.
When your father opened up the herb business in San Francisco, how many years did you people stay there?
Oh, we stayed about 8 or 9 years.
Do you remember where you were living in San Francisco?
Yes, about 672 South Broadway, I think. It's a motel now, I think, right now. It's a Royal Pacific Motel now.
Was it the same place as the herb store?
Yes, I think they tore the building down and made a motel out of it.
But at that time, you people lived in the same place where your father had the herb business,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Were you old enough to help your father at the store?
No.
Did your father have any kind of help?
No, he did everything himself.
Was he making a fairly good living for the family?
Yes, he was.
Later on, approximately what year did he come to Los Angeles?
I think about 1920, right after World War I.
All right. Then, about how old were you, Doctor?
1920, I'd be about 6 years old.
6 years old. So in other words, you started schooling when the family moved down to Los Angeles?
More or less. I think I was starting in third grade. We didn't move to Los Angeles, we moved to Long Beach.
Long Beach?
I grew up in Long Beach.
And do you remember the name of the school in Long Beach?
Yes, Burnett School.
Did you go to high school?
Yes, I finished up at the Long Beach Polytechnic High School in Long Beach.
And after that, where did you go?
Then I decided, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, so my parents invited me to go to China for a few years, and I went to Lingnan University in Canton.
What year was that, Doc?
1933.
1937. You, during that time, you were attending which school?
Lingnan University. They also call it Canton Christian University in Canton.
And they have a special school for overseas Chinese.
They have a special class for non-Chinese speaking classes. Uh-huh. Most other subjects are in English, so there's no difficulty.
I see. So did you learn some Chinese then?
Yes, I learned some Chinese then. And before that, we had a tutor in Long Beach that taught us some Chinese.
So your father believed in teaching the children a certain amount of Chinese, even in America?
Yes. He always tried to get some students to stay with us and teach us Chinese. Mm-hmm.
So how did you, then after your trip or your stay in Canton, what time did you come back to America?
I think it came back about 1939, when the Japanese started to invade Canton. My parents advised me to come home.
I see. All right, we're going to stop right there, and then I want to go back to your life in Canton. Did you enjoy your several years of stay in Canton, going to school there?
Yes, I did.
Why? Why were you, did you like it?
I was away from home, and I was meeting new people. I live in a dormitory and meeting different types of people. I was learning to improve my Cantonese, learning the regular Cantonese than my Sayup dialect.
Did you say most of the classes were taught in English?
Yes.
And that was a school or section especially for overseas Chinese?
Yes.
When you left that school, did you feel sorry?
Well, no. I decided to rent an apartment in Canton and study Chinese herbs under a teacher of Chinese pharmacy, Chinese medicine.
Oh, before you came back?
Yes. My father was interested in having me learn something about Chinese medicine. So I joined some other students to rent an apartment, and we employed a cook, and then every day I went to my Chinese pharmacy class.
Mm-hmm. And did you graduate from the Chinese pharmacy class?
Yes, I finished up a two-year course there.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's wonderful. All right, then after you finished that 2 years course, you came back to America.
Yes, came back to the United States and began my pre-med studies. Eventually I finished. And
where did you go for your pre-med studies?
My school is now known as UCLA at Irvine, Medical School at Irvine, but at that time it was under various names.
Then when did you graduate from the medical college?
1942.
Oh, that would be just the beginning of the war then?
Yes.
All right, now, let me see. During the war years, what were you doing, Doc?
I was practicing as a physician. Most doctors were drafted, but it so happened that I was not an MD at that time. I was a doctor of osteopathy, a DO, and it had to be a special class that was exempted from war duty at that time.
I see. In other words, they were only drafting those MDs.
MDs, yes.
And I know for a long time, osteopath was not called an MD.
That's right.
So, I see. Well, now then, you were practicing during the war years.
Yes.
All right. Then, where was your office, doctor?
My office is in 47th and Figueroa down the street here.
Oh, 47th. Then, tell me, when did they pass the law so that the osteopaths may be called MD too? When
that was about 15 years ago. Then that's when I became an MD.
I see. Did you have to take some special courses to qualify?
No, we just went back to class and went to another graduation exercise and paid some fees. And we were placed under the Board of Medical Examiners instead of under the Board of Osteopathic Examiners.
Oh, so in other words, you don't even have to go through another form of training?
No.
I see. All right. Now, then in your practice, doctor, then you have been a doctor for how many years?
About 38 years.
38 years, uh-huh. And during your years of practice, what kind of patients do you have? Chinese, American, or
In the beginning, it was mostly Caucasians, Americans. Right now, in this office, I have mostly black. This neighborhood changed while I was practicing here. Now it's mostly black Americans. When West Covina, the office is still Caucasian Americans.
Mm-hmm. Now, so in other words, you have been in this neighborhood for almost that 38 years then?
Almost, yes.
Mm. Do you have any Chinese patients, Doc?
One or two.
Then among your friends, are most of your friends Chinese or non-Chinese?
Right now, mostly mostly non-Chinese.
You yourself, do you feel more that you're more like a Chinese or more of American?
I feel more Chinese.
You do, after all these years?
That's because I spent a certain amount of time in China, living in a dormitory and spoke Cantonese.
Now, then you mentioned the fact that you graduated from a Chinese herb school. Have you ever practiced using your herb knowledge?
Yes, I practiced herbs for a few years after I finished med school.
Oh, you did?
In the same way that my father was doing.
I see. Then what was that reaction?
I found that there wasn't very much demand for Chinese herbs at that time, so I switched back to American medicine. In my father's time, it was pretty good, but somehow those things go up and down. It was a time when there was very little attention paid to Chinese medicine.
And what year was that, Doc?
Oh, after World War II, about 1942 to 1950.
Mm-hmm. Do you consider certain sicknesses as better to use herb, or is herb good for everything?
I think it's Chinese herb work by helping the body natural process of healing. If it's something that can be helped by natural process, well then Chinese herbs are very good. But where it cannot be, where the body is incapable of handling a disease like a cancer or a venereal disease, right, then that would be the wrong place to use Chinese medicine. Mm-hmm. But Chinese medicine is good for stomach disorders and skin troubles and the like, where there's dysfunction in the body itself. The body could, it helps the healing process. I mean, for instance, stomach. Mm-hmm. Chinese stomach medicine helps the strengthen the stomach, and Chinese kidney medicine helps strengthen the kidney. But they can't just attack specific bacteria like American medicine does. Mm-hmm.
In other words, the American medicine is really right to the point, more potent, more
specific.
Uh-huh.
But it's also dangerous. You got to know exactly what you're attacking.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you ever feel sorry for being a Chinese?
No.
When you were young, did you ever disagree with your family about being a Chinese or being American?
No.
Do you, at home, did you respect your parents at all?
Yes, I respect my parents.
Why?
We just taught that way.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, when your father was alive and when your kids were sick, naturally, what kind of medicine would you use to get
you? We use Chinese medicine first, and if it doesn't work well, we call in an American doctor.
Right now, do you eat any kind of food with medicine, cooked with medicine?
No. Oh, occasionally I use Chinese, herbal remedies for colds and flu if I have a cold.
No, but I mean like Chinese used to use some herbs to cook the jigur made.
No, I don't do that much cooking. So
you don't do that at all.
Only cooking I do is Japanese instant noodles, and I just heat it up and throw in a couple of eggs and stir it up.
No, I mean your home, your wife.
I got divorced.
I'm sorry.
My Chinese wife, now I'm living with a Spanish-speaking wife for a while. Now I'm now living by myself, so I don't do that much cooking.
So, now, when you were little, did your family prefer Chinese things?
Yes, we usually ate Chinese food for supper anyway.
Supper. But right now, for recreation, what do you like to do? Do you play mahjong like the old Chinese?
No, I go to hostess ballrooms. You know, where you check in of girl, and then at the end of the hour you pay the cashier for the time you spend, usually about $12 an hour.
Oh, you like dancing then?
Yes.
Other than dancing, what would you like? Movies?
Yes, I also go to see Chinese movies occasionally.
Mm-hmm. Now, then Just a little bit about your family. Do you have children?
Originally, yes. I have two boys, two girls.
Two boys and two girls.
From my first wife.
Were you married in China, here or in China?
I was married in the girl's hometown of Salinas, California.
She's a Chinese girl?
Yes.
So, are your children all married now?
No. My oldest daughter is married.
And are they all, on their own?
No. My oldest daughter is the only one that's on her own.
And the rest of the three children are still going to school?
Yes, they're going to school or living at home.
Oh, wonderful. Now, in Los Angeles, do you often go down to Chinatown, Dr. Lee?
Yes, I do. I go at least 3 or 4 times a week.
Oh, what do you do when you go 3 or 4 times a week?
Because I eat mostly, and then I usually walk around. I may attend a Chinese movie.
Oh, you like Chinese movie?
Yes.
That's surprising.
Well, I'm still trying to learn Mandarin, and going to Chinese movie help keep up. And also, I hate to lose my Cantonese, but I listen to Mandarin, Cantonese, and movies. I can keep from forgetting.
So, where do you go to see Chinese movies?
Oh, the usual Chinese movies.
There are two. We have three theaters.
Is the one on Spring Street.
Oh.
There's also one on the Cinema East on north of Chinatown.
Three of them, uh-huh.
Also, there's one in Alhambra, two in Alhambra that I go to.
Oh.
Where I live in Alhambra, there are two Chinese theaters within walking distance.
Is that right? Oh, I didn't know there was.
Yeah, they're spreading all over. Mm. In fact, there's one in San Gabriel also.
So, you mentioned about going to Chinatown to eat. Which is your favorite restaurant?
I usually go very late, so I usually go to the Wong Kok. That's the one near Cathay Bank there.
Mm-hmm.
It opens the about 3 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. Usually after I finish dancing, I go there and bite to eat and then go on home.
Mm-hmm. Now, then when you go to, do you still have connections with the Chinatown associations?
No.
Not at all, like your Lee Family Association?
No. Mm-hmm.
Do you know many people in Chinatown?
No. I used to be active with CSCA, but that's a long time ago.
Why did you not continue become a member of NSCA, CACA?
After being, when my Chinese marriage of 25 years broke up, why?
Mm.
I sort of lost touch with the other Chinese, because they're all married people.
Oh.
So I was more or less on my own, so I went out to ballrooms to meet girls there. And of course there aren't too many Chinese working in Baldwin, so
no.
I ended up with Vietnamese and Mexican girls and Americans.
So I was going to ask you, what kind of jobs do most Chinese do before the Second World War? Can you tell me?
I think everybody agrees that the Chinese mostly in Los Angeles, they're mostly in restaurants, in laundries, retail selling mostly, stores, gift shops. There are few. I'm more conscious of Chinese who are herbalists, medical professionals. Certain number of Chinese are chiropractors, MDs, dentists, doctors.
Well, that's only after the Second World War that there are
yes,
more doctors.
That's true.
MDs and all.
Originally,
that.
They're mostly laundrymen and restaurant workers.
Mm-hmm. Now, what would you consider to be the average income of the Chinese pre-war period?
I really don't know. Mm-hmm. I imagine about people World War One.
Yes, before the Second World War.
Yeah, I really don't know. I was just growing up then. Why not? My father was able to support us.
Now, I remember you, when your father was in the herb business, how many other herb businesses were there at that time?
Oh, roughly, I guess there'll be about 30 or 40 in California.
Quite a few then. Mm-hmm. How about now? Have you come in contact with them?
It's about 30.
Now, the Chinese people in Chinatown, they seem to like to live together. Why is that so?
I think it's only the ones that are recently from China that like to live together. As soon as they've been here a few years, by they prefer to move further out. Mm-hmm. You know, people in Chinatown live there mostly because they lack transportation and don't have automobiles.
You know, the Chinese like to save money from their jobs. What do you suppose they did with the money, those who live in Chinatown?
Some of them gamble. That's the most common way of wasting the money. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of them are patronized. I'm not sure whether that's true now. They used to patronize the American prostitutes. Nowadays, they're more likely to save their money and go to Las Vegas and spend on gambling.
Do you know any Chinese who would like to send some money home to China, to their relatives?
Not nowadays. But, it was difficult to send money to the mainland once the communists took over. In the old days, they did it all the time.
Do you happen to know any Chinese who were in politics?
Only one I know is Judge Delbert Wong. I guess you would say he's in politics. I mean.
Oh, in America, but not yeah. Chinese. Any Chinese or in Chinese politics?
Chinese politics? No.
But you just mentioned about...
Oh, I've been to a couple of dinners where Mark Fong was on our guest. Mm-hmm. I don't really know her.
You just mentioned about Judge Delbert Wong. Who is he?
Oh, he's an American-born Chinese that became appointed judge. I imagine he was active in politics when he was appointed.
He is very active in politics. Is that right?
Probably.
Now, all these years you live in Los Angeles, did you feel there was a certain amount of hostility towards the Chinese in general?
Yes and no.
Do you happen to know cases?
In the outskirts, there's hardly any. Mm-hmm. But in Los Angeles, a little bit. The fewer Chinese there are in that town, the less prejudice. Usually when you go to outskirts like West Covina, San Bernardino, you don't find any. Mm-hmm.
But do you happen to know of cases of Chinese being ostracized or mistreated or something like that?
Well, of course, when I was growing up, I noticed that the certain swimming pools don't let any Caucasian in.
Any Orientals?
Oh, I know there's a swimming pool in Long Beach, and there's one in Los Angeles. We can't go over your Oriental, that's about all. Mm-hmm.
So at that time, where did you guys go swimming?
Oh, we went to the ocean.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. But how about now? Do you see any hostility now?
No, I don't.
Now, have you ever compared the Chinese with the Jewish people in the way of doing business?
Yes, they're very similar.
How? How are they similar?
They like to save money and buy real estate. The mothers like the boys to become doctors and lawyers, because doctors and lawyers would make more money. And they want the children to have education. Anyway, very much a Jewish mother is very much like Chinese mother. They have the same values.
Do you think the Jewish people have improved or have gone further than the Chinese in doing business?
I think so.
Why do you suppose you think that they have done better than we have?
I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. I think it got started earlier in the United States, maybe. Also, you can't tell a Jew from a non-Jew, so that's an advantage.
You what?
You can't tell. A Jewish person will look at them, so that's an advantage.
I see. Now, Where did you meet your Mrs. Lee? Where did you meet her?
Oh, my first wife, I met her in her hometown, in Salinas, hometown.
Then, among the American-born Chinese women, did many Chinese men return to China to be married?
I know some.
Now, since you had lived in China for a number of years, why didn't you want to go back to China and get married over there?
It's mostly because of the lack of time. I feel that you have to be, you have no girl over a period of time to have a chance to date with her, and no family background before you get married. And I don't want to go back to China and spend a couple of weeks getting acquainted with a girl and then come back and find out that a lot of things about her that I didn't know.